Hello, and welcome to Ask the Mayor on WBAA News. I'm your host, Emily Seiberg. This week, our guest on the show is West Lafayette Mayor John Dennis. Thanks so much for being with us. As you're listening, you can keep emailing questions for Mayor Dennis to ask@wbaa.org, and we have the mayor on the line right now. Good afternoon, Mayor.
How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Chipper as a whale, as they say.
Do they say that? Are whales...
Don't overanalyze. Have you ever seen an unhappy whale?
No? You know, now that I think about it, I never have.
I mean, I did one radio show earlier today, and I said the exact same thing, and I was asked the exact same question. And I said, they're in the water, and they can shoot water out of the top of their heads, so they got to be happy.
Okay. Well, thank you for sharing that tidbit with us this afternoon. So... we're going to jump into a number of listener questions here. We've got several listener questions today about masks. So I'm going to start today with this question from Steve, who wrote in, an overwhelming amount of evidence shows that mask wearing is perhaps the most important thing people can do to prevent transmission of COVID-19 while at the same time allowing businesses to operate safely. Governor Holcomb refuses to require face masks in public, instead passing the buck to the localities to make that call. Considering that an area can go from a steady number of cases to doubling every week literally overnight, will West Lafayette take action in accordance with scientific evidence and overwhelming expert opinion to require mask wearing in public? He adds, without such an ordinance, there's no reason to expect that West Lafayette would be any different from Florida, Texas, or Arizona. Steve, thank you for your question. And Mayor, what's your answer to that?
Yup. I don't mean to be glib, but we are actually in the process of crafting a mandatory mask policy.
Okay.
The hope is that it should be, its first iteration should be done today. And we will implement it as soon as possible. It'll be one or two phases. One phase is an executive order that just requires my signature. Our city attorney is making sure that that is acceptable in a class two city. The other is to have our council vote on it. If it's a council vote, the council has assured me that they would be more than willing to call an emergency meeting to be able to do so. So I am I'm enthusiastic that it can I would anticipate that it would be done sometime, if not this week, early next week. There's a lot of support across the city. I have probably had 150 emails. There are some that are vehemently opposed to it. There are some that are enthusiastically embracing it. And it really is the right thing to do. As we go further down the path of COVID and what it can do to our health, what it can do to our economy, what it can do to our quality of life, it's imperative that we take every step that we can to prevent the spread of the virus. One thing we know for sure, our university, Purdue, is absolutely 100% on board, and they absolutely 100% support what we're doing here in the city of West Lafayette. West Lafayette is the home of Purdue. And what kind of a house or what kind of a home would we be hosting if we weren't doing this together as partners? And that's exactly what we're doing. The other challenge will come with enforcement. And I know we can get way down the road on this, but it's one of those issues that we will have an enforcement mechanism. The question that our attorneys are looking into right now is what type of teeth will that have? But I just by witnessing what I've been seeing within the city, there is a lot of voluntary willingness to wear masks. There's a lot of understanding and support for taking the appropriate actions to minimize the exposure to the coronavirus. When we first started our programs by doing videos about social distancing, videos about wearing masks, people embraced that. They were done in a lighthearted way, but with the intent of trying to make sure that people understand this stuff is real and it's not going away. The other thing is that we have to look at the impact on our economy, and that's a big deal for the city of West Lafayette. Our local economy suffered when we had our shutdown. And a lot of businesses, some of our smaller businesses, are still struggling to get back on their feet. And when I say back on the feet, I mean just getting the doors open and being able to provide the services that they had prior to the virus coming into our community. So by all of us taking the necessary steps to protect ourselves, working collaboratively with our university and making sure that we are basically not in conflict, but supportive of each other, basically having the same general protocol for how we're going to operate, basically being one unified, large, densely populated group, looking after ourselves and looking after each other, we'll get through this, and we'll get through this intact. There's a lot of individualists out there. They feel that this is governmental intrusion. They feel that we have no business telling people what to do when it comes to their own personal hygiene and health. But I disagree, because one thing we know for sure is, unlike other issues of governmental intrusion, this is one that has a huge impact on the general population. And I feel very strongly about getting policy out there, making our community aware, and then enforcing it to the best of our skill and ability.
So in terms of enforcement, and it sounds like you're still examining that, I mean, mm-hmm. have you or would you look at how other localities have been handling their mask mandates to kind of take your cues from them? I know Marion County starts their mask mandate today, for example.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of like what Mayor Hoggett's doing. You know, this is not one of those things. You know, there's all kinds of laws out there on the books. I mean, some of the laws are there because things are really bad and you really shouldn't do those things. Other laws are on the books because they have an adverse impact on the quality of life of a population base. This is on that side of the law stack. And our intent is to treat it as such. This is going to be enforced by our neighborhood resource team, or NRT. That's a group of men and women that are dressed in uniforms. They don't have badges. It's a soft approach. And they will be going out encouraging people to comply to the existing ordinance once it's on the books. That reference of encouraging compliance will be, hey, you know better. You know, if you need a mask, we can provide you a mask, but please, when you're out in public or in a public place, restaurant, bar, whatever, put a mask on. Our intent is not to go out and be the mask cops. We're not going to be writing a bunch of tickets and trying to have some significant punitive measure taken unless we absolutely have to. There's going to be obviously some egregious examples of bad behavior. We're going to be prepared to be able to deal with that. But, you know, this is one of those kind of like do unto others as you would do unto yourself things. Nobody wants to get sick. It's a horrible virus, and it really can be disruptive to somebody's life. And on the greater scale, it could be really disruptive to the quality of life in a college community like West Lafayette. So we feel pretty strongly that the enforcement mechanism, you know, that first blush will be providing information and if need be providing products. But after that, then we'll have to probably get a little bit more involved.
So for someone who's listening right now, who lives in West Lafayette and is thinking, okay, I need to start being mindful of this when I leave the house. What are all of the things they're going to need to start thinking about, where they need to wear their mask and under what situations?
Well, the good rule of thumb is that if you're out in public, put a mask on. You know, one of the strongest concerns that have been expressed to me is about people who exercise outside. I'm a runner, mm-hmm. and I run outside. And if I were to have to put on a mask when I run, it probably wouldn't be as pleasant. It's not like I'm a sprinter or anything. I'm 61 years old, for goodness sake, so I'm not doing it that hard. But still, it's something that I do, and I run for long distances. And what I do is I carry a mask with me, but I don't run with it on. And then my focus is on social distancing, because the protocol usually requires most mask ordinances, regulations, encouragements say when you cannot keep your social distancing of 6 feet, wear a mask. That's kind of the best rule of thumb to follow, because when you have people that walk in groups, wear a mask. If you have somebody that's running independently and they can stay, keep their distance, you know, carry a mask in the event something should change. But I wouldn't say that it's mandatory that you wear it. If you feel comfortable wearing one when you're working out, go for it. But generally speaking, that's not going to be one of those things that has to absolutely be done. There's other things too. There are people that have claustrophobic issues. There are people that have asthma issues. There's people that have other medical conditions, whether they be physical or psychological, about wearing a mask. We're going to be sympathetic to that, you know. But the whole purpose is that no matter what you're trying to do, no matter whether it's a speeding limit, no matter whether it's, you know, certain forms of behavior, trying to craft a law or a rule to regulate a population, especially one as diverse as we have here in West Lafayette, it's a challenge. But those of us that are in the position to be basically required to enforce are going to be aware of that. We're going to do what we feel is right for the community. And if that means telling people to put their masks on and having some statutory support behind it, we're going to do it.
You are listening to Ask the Mayor here on WBAA News. I'm your host, Emily Seiberg, and we're talking with West Lafayette Mayor John Dennis. You can still email questions into the mayor at ask@wbaa.org. Local officials have spoken often in the past months of kind of your unified decision-making process. You know, no one's going it alone. Lafayette, West Lafayette, the county are all working together. How does that all play into this decision?
Well, it's aptly plays just the opposite. Lafayette and Tippecanoe County are not doing this.
Okay.
Now, let me go ahead and flesh that out. This isn't a matter of reluctance on either entities. I mean, you can talk to Mayor Wazworski, or you can talk to Commissioner Murtaugh or Commissioner Brown. This is just what's most suitable for their population base. In West Lafayette, you know, we have a strong residential environment where we have a lot of rooftops, a lot of treetops. We do have an industrial component. We do have a business component, but we have a lot of restaurants. We have a lot of environments where close contact is unavoidable. Also, we're one of the most densely populated cities in the state of Indiana. And I believe we're in the top 10 or 20 insofar as our density as it compares with other communities in the country. That makes us a different animal. Just because of the proximity that we have with each other is somewhat of a challenge. And it really presents an opportunity for the virus to spread radically. So for us and for our college students, we want to make sure we're in a position to control the potential of that spreading. So as a mayor of a college town, and in full cooperation and partnership with our university, we're going to lock it down and we're going to mandate masks. Now, that creates some peripheral issues when we talk about people coming and going from Lafayette to West Lafayette, or Tippecanoe County into West Lafayette. Mm-hmm. We get that. But remember, this is a law. This is a rule. This is a ordinance that we're going to be enforcing. And if we use the threshold of 100% compliance on any law, or any rule or any regulation, we would be living in a different world than we are now. We know that there are going to be issues that require some form of governmental intervention. And like I said, our approach isn't going to be draconian. It's going to be soft, with the understanding that we need to inform, we need to educate, and then if need be, we will enforce.
So Purdue has laid out, obviously, you know, significant on-campus face mask requirements. They're already in place. And the next time you're on Ask the Mayor, the first day of school here at the West Lafayette campus will be a little over 2 weeks away. So, you know, what is the latest update on your work with the university to prepare for the students' return in general, even aside from the mask issue?
It is incredible. We are looking at convening a meeting with our business community and with our bar coalition.
Okay.
To continue this dialogue and to encourage their support of our mask ordinance, and to allow for us to share our information with them, our concerns with them, and then for them to obviously give us that very same feedback. Purdue will be intimately involved in that conversation. And that basically leads to the type of relationship that we have. As the adage goes, what's good for Purdue is good for West Lafayette, and what's good for West Lafayette is good for Purdue. Everybody knows that. I got a great relationship with President Daniels. I work with a lot of his administration in different capacities. I mean, the State Street project wouldn't have happened without a great relationship between Purdue and the city. We would not have annexed Purdue into the city without having a very solid relationship. So, you know, as I said at the beginning of the show, we are the home of Purdue University, and we're proud to be so. And that means that we need to, and it's not just want to, we need to, we must work cooperatively together, whether it be dealing with a virus like COVID-19, or whether it be on being dealing with some of the issues such as Black Lives Matter and things. We need to work together as one. And since Purdue's been in the city and since I've been mayor, we have been.
So there's been a lot of discussion about the X factors and the unknowns of the behavior of college-age students. You have certainly spoken to that before, and how mm-hmm. their sense of personal responsibility, as all of ours does, you know, will come into play. But aside from that intangible, what are some of the tangible concerns that you have? At last week's press conference, Mayor Wiswirski, I believe, mentioned a meeting that you and he were both at with some Protect Purdue people, where attendees talked about, I think the mayor literally used the phrase, what keeps them up at night, about the students coming back. So I guess, what keeps you up at night? What are you worried about?
The students coming back.
Okay.
No. We look at what we're at the environment that we have so much administrative control over, the institution of our schools, the institution of Purdue. I mean, when they're in the classroom, when they're in the structure of their environment as pursuing their degrees, there's a lot that we can do to insist and mandate some semblance of control. And again, I'm not trying to talk about some Darwinian thing or not, anyway, but it's something that we can literally say, you know, you need to sit here, and there's no chair next to you, there's one 6 feet away, all that kind of stuff. You can basically engineer, design, and control that kind of an environment. What keeps me up at night is our neighborhoods. We have a lot of students that choose to live off campus. And they call our neighborhoods their home. And the students, I mean, you're at that age between 18 and 25 or so. And there's a lot of experimentation that goes on there. There's a lot of things that students do to sort of decompress after a hard day of hitting the books. There's a lot of things that happen during sporting events. And that's what keeps me awake at night, because those experimental ages between 18 and 25 can basically cause for all kinds of things to happen. What I worry about is the interaction between our student population and our neighborhoods. Our neighbors know, our permanent residents know the mantra that I've been preaching now for 3 months. They know it's all about distancing. It's all about protecting. And they are very compliant. We still have the odd complaint, people behaving irresponsibly, but they generally are very compliant. Our students will come in town and they will be very compliant until they're not. And depending upon the nature of the event, whether it's a party, whether it's just some sort of maybe a fraternity or sorority something or something to that effect, that's what concerns me. The other thing is that... you know, we've got a lot of parks and a lot of green space in our community, and maintaining control over that when we're unaware of an event going on. Quite clearly, if you're going to book a shelter or do something with one of our parks, you have to go through our parks department to do so. Mm-hmm. And in the age of COVID, there's a lot of new requirements that we apply towards that. But spontaneous gatherings, things of that nature, those are more difficult to control. And there's nothing harder than trying to interact or intervene in something that's already in progress. So that's the kind of stuff that concerns me. We do have, because we have the support of Purdue, because we have all the administrations, Lafayette, West Lafayette, and Purdue, police departments, fire departments, emergency response people all communicate on a daily basis. we are aware of what we can and can't do. We are aware of how to address some of these issues, specifically when it's a health related issue. So I worry, but you know, after giving it some focused thought, I feel that we're in a position to be able to respond. But that sort of that unknown entity, that that X factor, is what causes me a great deal of stress and concern. The other thing is that how do we deal with our visitors? You know, how do we deal with folks that might not necessarily feel that what we're doing is constitutional or is American or whatever the issue might be, and they do things deliberately, you know. And we've all read the stories where there are groups of people that go into businesses and go into crowds knowing that they're going to be violating social policy, or knowing they're going to be violating, in some cases, local ordinance that were structured because of COVID, just to see what can happen. I read online somewhere that there's some places in the country where they're having COVID parties.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, there's a lot of things that if you overthink it, you can spend a lot of sleepless nights. And the other thing is that trying to, I honestly, I'm not joking, I've been getting hundreds of emails about the mandate with masks, about some of the things that they're seeing going on in the city, and about the future of what our society is going to be like with all the governmental intervention. And this is definitely a moment in all of our history.
I do want to swing back to some listener questions. Sarah wrote in at last night's West Lafayette School Corporation school board meeting. The district attorney said that the schools are a, quote, separate legal entity and would not be covered under a West Lafayette City wear a mask ordinance. Does the city have the same opinion?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
Yeah, there are certain things that go on within a school corporation that we have absolutely no jurisdiction over. And their decision to how they're going to deal with COVID is strictly up to them. Obviously, just because not only do I have a good personal relationship with Dr. Killian, he works about 100 yards away from where I am right now. We've been able to have conversations about that, and his concerns are very similar to mine. It's the enforcement issue. It's making sure that the people who are pushing back about the school's opening get the appropriate amount of information so that they can send their kids to school with confidence. For us, all of us keeping in touch, all of us communicating, all of us making sure that we are aware of what the other entity is doing or in a position to either support or at least react to that is imperative for making sure that we're going to be as safe as a community as we can be. Nobody wants to see us go back to the shutdown. Nobody wants us to see us closing businesses. The last time we did that for the first iteration of COVID really hurt some businesses. And like I said earlier at the top of the show, some of them might not even be coming back. But I think with what we know now, with the awareness that the population, the public has now, I think we're going to be in a much better position to positively influence folks to do the right thing.
So the school reopening process in general, obviously just an increasing area of focus right now. Here, mm-hmm. nationally, it's coming right up. Mm-hmm. What are you hearing from parents or from teachers at staff at local schools about what they're concerned about?
You know, really, I've only had one or two emails from parents, and they were basically, I'm concerned. I don't think we should be doing this. I think that they should be offering online classes, and they shouldn't open. And Dr. Killian, I mean, he is the one that answers those questions. But the only thing I know about schools, which is just enough to probably get me in trouble, is their requirements are even more restrictive than local government's requirements. So in other words, hypothetically, having online school doesn't mean that you put a camera in the classroom and a teacher stands in front and teaches. Much more involved than that. There's much more complicated protocols than that. because, you know, they have rules, they have things that they got to abide by, and certain metrics that have to be met, whether it be through the process of instruction or the process of the student proving their efficiency at understanding the lesson. So that's why whether or not the school open or closes really is something that Dr. Killian needs to respond to, because it's his area of expertise. We as local government will definitely support our schools in any way that we can.
So last week, Governor Holcomb extended stage 4 of the Back on Track plan, supposed to essentially open at full capacity July 4th, and then the state basically decided the numbers didn't warrant that. And I know that last week our county health officer, Dr. Adler, indicated that was what he was hoping would happen, that full reopening would not occur. And Tippecanoe County case numbers have largely been climbing over the past 2 weeks. So I guess, what are you preparing for if that trend continues? I know a few months ago you talked about having a plan B. I've been thinking lately about the broader need for plan A, B, C, D,
all
so
the way
on
down the road.
Essentially, because
we might as well just go 1, 2, 3, 4. It's easier.
Well, there's so much that's potentially about to change. We don't know the future necessarily. And even if case numbers here were staying relatively flat, we just talked about a seismic shift to the amount of people who are going to be coming in here next month. So, acknowledging that we don't want to backslide, we don't want to close businesses, but also acknowledging that we might have to. What are you planning for?
Well, our hopes are, you know, we're not going to just, you know, close our fingers and or cross our fingers and close our eyes and wish. We are doing everything that we are empowered to do to make sure that people are aware of what needs to be done. That's why I'm in the process of crafting the mandatory mask protocol. We need to make sure that we do the right thing. Everybody is responsible for themselves, but they're also responsible for everybody else. This is truly a collegial partnership to make sure that we understand that what I do can influence somebody else. People always talk about how dare you tell me that I have to wear a mask. You know, I'm able to, I can look after myself. Well, you can, but it's not all about you. You know, I think one of the best examples that was given to me was, you know, do you love your daughter? Do you love your grandson? Do you love your wife? Yeah, well then protect them from it. Put your mask on. And it's the same thing. It's not just the individual, it's everybody else. And hopefully that philosophy rings true. The second thing is that this too shall pass. This will eventually be something that we're looking in the rearview mirror at. And the things that we do today, the actions that we take today, the sacrifices, both personal and professional, that we make today, help us get through this.
Mayor, that is all the time we have. Thanks so much for being with us this afternoon. You can find this program at our website, WBAA.org, along with an archive of our shows with the mayors of West Lafayette, Lafayette, Crawfordsville, and Frankfort. Send us your questions to ask@WBAA.org. Thanks for listening, and have a great rest of the day.
Support for WBAA comes from your membership and Encompass Credit Union, supporting Ask the Mayor and offering a full line of financial services to the people of Clinton and Tipton counties while supporting the communities they serve. More information at EncompassCU.org.